There's some clips from a video from 1980, and you would, I guess, order these things. They'd show up in the mail, and then there'd be all their personal information, and then you could contact them if you wished to at that time. I'm going to be honest with you. It's been a few years since I've been in the dating scene. Quite a few. I have a disadvantage to some in understanding the dating scene because even out of high school, I was not really dating. I met my wife, Jenny, in high school, and we met years earlier on a BMX track when I was a BMX rider and she served Frito boats in the snack bar. I was about 11 or 12 at that time, and I knew she was smoking then. So we went to the same junior high and high school together. She was the mascot, the Thunderbird. She had this giant, it was hilarious. But we didn't really hang out then. It wasn't until our high school year when, from our junior to our senior year, that we kind of connected. I was in a long-term relationship. She was in a long-term relationship. Both of those ended, and we found each other along the way. Senior year, I took her to the prom and the formal, and if you want to know what kind of man hunk I was, here's a photo. That's right. Look at that double-breasted tweed jacket. I think the Raggedy Ann and Andy in the background really make me look masculine, you know. Yeah, I thought I had it going on. But Jenny and I, we were inseparable. Here's a photo of us hanging out together. Yeah, that's her and me. Yeah, yes, I did have a mullet, and I made it look good, all right? So, yeah, that's us. So, you know, I can really say, at least for me, she's just been the girl I've always known, and found her, fell in love with her, and we got married. We got married pretty close right out of high school, not because there were any reasons to. We just did. It was foolish. No, it really was. It was foolish to do that early, but we didn't know better, and we did it, and we broke a lot of dishes and pots and pans that first year as we figured out how to interact with one another. But, I don't know, things have worked out pretty good. But when it comes to the dating scene, you know, I do remember dating. I did date her and, you know, some other girls before her that she says obviously were just training for me. But I want to give you a few statistics on dating, and this comes from an organization called datingonlinetoday.com. 44% of Americans are single, according to the current U.S. Census figures. This means that there's over 100 million unattached people out there. Statistically, the find someone favors the guys. There are 86 unmarried men for every 100 unmarried women. Only, in fact, maybe, you know, I think one of the hardest things for people when they're single and they're looking to not be single is how do you meet someone? You know, where do I go to meet somebody? Only 9% of women and 2% of men say they found a relationship at a bar or club. Isn't that the one we always think of? You know, if you're going to meet someone, you're just going to have to go to some club or something, and some guy, cheesy guy, is going to try and pick up on you or whatever. But, yeah, only 9% of women and 2% of men, so that's a pretty poor statistic. When it comes to letting people know that you're interested in them, get this. 23% of people still utilize the schoolyard approach and send the message to a friend. You thought that was only in third grade, but no, it's still today. If you are into online dating, you're not alone because 40 million Americans use online dating services today. That's about 40% of the entire U.S. single population pool. So a huge percentage are doing that. When people are trying to find out how to be successful in online dating, they've discovered that profiles and photos go together very well, as long as it truly is a photo of you. On a date, first impressions seem to count the most. I don't know if you could remember back to some of your dates, but apparently it only takes a man 15 minutes to decide if a woman is worth a second date. 15 minutes. I find that amazing because women always say it takes, you know, men forever to make up their minds. I want you to know that is just so not true in every single area of life. We just don't share it with you because it's not popular to you. But we know what we want and we know right away. Right, men? That's right. When I go into a store and I'm going to buy a shirt and pants, I grab the first shirt, the first set of pants, and I buy them. You know, my dad always says that if stores were designed for men, it'd be, over here are the shirts, and there'd be blue and yellow and red, and over here would be the pants, and there'd be, you know, whatever colors are those. You just go in, you just grab them, and you go. We can make up our minds quickly. Women, on the other hand, the clock doesn't tick quite as fast for them on a date. They ponder whether to get together again for over an hour. So men, you have a whole hour. Okay, whole hour before she figures this thing out, even though you've known in 15 minutes. You know, if a woman was teaching this today, you'd get a different flavor, but you got me, okay? If you feel like your relationship might be hitting the skids, the face-to-face approach is what most people think about, but today, at least in this statistical data that's here, 48% of people in their relationships online. So just, you know, you get the email, it's over, don't contact me again. I don't know if that's rude or just plain convenient. It does happen a lot. But today, I want to talk about dating. Now, I realize that for the majority of you here today, you've already decided whether you are going to date or whether you no longer need to date, all right? Now, if you are married, just in case you're confused, that means you no longer need to date, okay? Except dating each other, that can still happen. There might even be some things we learned today about that. But if you're a parent, there's a good chance your children might be dating or might be dating someday. If you're a grandparent, you have grandchildren that are dating. If you are in that single age group, you may have decided that you're not going to be dating because a single life is for you, and that is a gift and a blessing from God as well. In other words, I don't want you to hear in any way, shape, or form that marriage or dating is a must for people. Scripture is very clear that for some, God calls them not to be married. But if you are going to be dating, there may be some things that we can learn today or some things that you can pass on as people will ask you about dating, whether you're single, attached, or married. Now, believe it or not, I would like to start this topic off by talking about Christmas. Which is kind of a weird thing to do in May, but you know, we're kind of halfway through the year, and I think there's some text in the Christmas story that are so important for us to understand this dating relationship. The problem is that every time we bring it up, it's so Christmassy that all we hear is the Christmas story. So I think in May we can jump back into it, and you're not thinking trees and gifts under gifts under the tree and all that kind of stuff. So if you would open up your Bibles to the first book of the first chapter, Matthew chapter 1. And jump to, I'm in Genesis, that is not going to help us. Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to start about verse 18. Now this is the story, of course, where Mary and Joseph are engaged, and he finds out that she's with child, okay? So we're going to pick it up, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. So here we have Mary. We don't know specifically her age. What are some guesses you have as to how old Mary might be in this story? 14? Okay. Anyone think, my goodness, that is way too young? Yeah. Any other guesses on her age? Anything you've ever learned or been taught before? 14 is probably a pretty good guess. We would say she is somewhere between 13 and 15. And the text doesn't tell us that, but it says a couple of things. It uses the word virgin, which is a word that is used to describe a young woman who is yet to be married, thus, in the true sense, a virgin. But it's not a word that's specific for someone who has never had a sexual encounter before. So we know that she's young, and she is a virgin in our understanding of a virgin. But also the traditions of the day, the customs of her day, would have been to marry her off somewhere between 13 and 15 years old. I mean, at 15, you know, she's starting to become damaged goods, all right? But to 13, you know, she's just right and ready to be married. Why? I mean, that just seems ridiculous. It was just a different era, okay? There was a whole different level of maturity and responsibility as children grew up. There wasn't really a time of play and Nickelodeon and Game Boys and doing all your school sports and even going to school. As soon as you were old enough and able to start working, you started working. You worked right alongside your parents, a boy with his father and girls with the mother. You learned how to wash. You learned how to cook. You learned how to do all these things. You helped out around with the family. But by the time you hit 13, you were fully capable to do everything that your mother did. Or if you're a young man, 13, you were ready to do. In fact, at 13, you had your bar mitzvah. You became a man. There was a ceremony for this. So this is a time in life when people are just ready to launch off. Now, if a girl is going to get married, the groom or the one that was going to marry her, his father would have to pay something called a dowry to the bride's family. Now, this was a hefty sum of money. Today, what does the groom's father have to do, or family, when it comes to a wedding? Huh? Yeah, they pay for rehearsal dinner. You might wonder, why do I have to do that? Well, that's because you've gotten out of a dowry that should be worth about 150 grand or more in modern day times. They give a huge lump sum. Well, okay, maybe some of your rehearsal dinners didn't cost that much. Sorry for that. Learn to say no to your children, okay? But you would get this huge dowry. Now, this was important for the family that had the daughter because they've been consuming a lot of resources on her and raising her. And now they no longer are responsible for her, and she's transferred to this other family, to this groom. So they kind of get their payment for all the years of having her, and they transfer ownership of her from this family to that family. So it was a very significant time. And so for Mary, this is what's happened. She's probably between 13, 15 years old, and once you got married, even at that 13, 14, 15 years, you started having children right away. I mean, right away. That was, as a girl, your main function, to have children. The reason why was to start creating workers for the family so that you had help and there was assistance in the family for getting the various basic things of life. Remember, there wasn't a Hy-V store. You know, you had to do everything on your own. But the other part was also to carry on the husband's name and his lineage, his heritage. And so doing that was very, very normal. Now, engagements during this period of time were different than engagements today. Today, an engagement is two people who love each other that want to get married, have a private or sometimes public at the ball stadium, but they communicate in some way, the man, and even in today's standards, women can do it as well, propose to the other one, say, will you marry me? Usually there's a promise ring of some sort that's given. Note that that is a promise ring, which means that if it all ends, you don't get it back, okay? Promise ring is given, and you say, I do, and then you set a date for a wedding. And the engagement time in our current culture becomes a time to do, hopefully, the main thing you do is you plan a wedding, and then you learn how to fight with each other as a result of planning the wedding, which is helpful. But the other part is hopefully you're doing some kind of premarital counseling or some kind of preparatory work for what it's going to mean to be married and what you need to do in order to be married. Here at Hillcrest, we have about 8 different sessions people go through that take an hour and a half each before they can be married here. So those of you that have done your weddings, good job. Those of you that would like to do a wedding here but after hearing that don't want to, I'm sure you'll find plenty of people that will just marry you without doing anything, but it is the worst decision you could make because it is important to invest into this relationship. And so the engagement is for that period of time. Now, in Mary and Joseph's day, it was a little bit different. This was a legal binding contract. Today, we wait until we get the marriage license before it's legally binding. For them, the engagement was where it became legally binding, and then the marriage was added on to that, but the legal binding part of it happened at the beginning. And so this was a very serious, significant time. And there was all kinds of preparatory work that happened for this. The whole community was involved in this engagement as well. Mary becomes pregnant during the engagement. This is terrible. This is not norm in Mary and Joseph's culture either, for someone to be unfaithful to the other one, especially in an engagement time. The person who engaged in that with the girl herself, the choices that she made, this would have been a terrible situation. I know that even bringing this up in our culture today, I can just get myself in trouble. We have this idea of an engagement and marriage and dating and relationships about as messed up, I think, as we can possibly get it. What we understand or what we comprehend as an engagement or what we comprehend as marriage is miles from what God's design is that He lays out here, an example. Dating and engagements have become much of a joke in our culture. Kids and dating adults engage in sexual acts on a regular basis, and in today's culture, it's the norm. Now, if it's been a lot of years since you've been in the dating scene, and you think that just can't possibly be, I'm going to reveal something to you with hopefully not revealing too much to you. But in the last 25 weddings that I have done, I can count on one hand how many of those couples have not engaged in that kind of activity with one another prior to meeting with me. And I don't need a lot of fingers. Now, if I married your friend or your child, of course it was yours. They're the ones that were pure, okay? So, know that. It's about as normal a thing as you can get out there that is about as damaging and as abnormal of a behavior as people should be engaging in. Becoming more and more casual. One-night stands seem to be a regular occurrence. And certainly moving in and living together, they're almost expected before the engagement, or certainly once the engagement happens. Usually moving in is whatever their next step is. Why is this? I think there's a few different reasons why this is the case. Okay, ladies, I need you to hear this. Moms, you need to know this for your daughters. Dads, you already know this. But you need to communicate this to your daughters as well. The reason why is because men want the prize without the commitment. Every one of them. If you're a high school, middle school student, you're dating, I need you to know, if you're a girl, that all those boys, that is a thought in their mind. Doesn't matter how great their family is, what background they come from, it's a focus in their mind. And they want the prize without a commitment. If you're an adult, it's even worse. It's just expected. In our society, there are men out there who act like boys. They're masterful at saying and doing whatever they can or need to in order to get the girl. And it's sad to say that girls are so easily fooled by this false front that they give in and they compromise their values and their bodies for a lie. Part of the reason why I think our boys and young men are acting this way is because they're not taught, certainly in our culture, that women are to be cherished. They know the behavior is wrong on some spiritual level, but they don't live in a culture that in any way, shape, or form cherishes women. When a boy pressures a girl to have sex, he is disrespecting her, and he is disrespecting her parents. Now for our girls. Our girls are also not taught in our culture to expect to be cherished. They feel like they have to go along with the expectations just to be accepted by the crowds and by their peers. They feel they have to go along with this, and in the process, they get used and tossed aside when the boy gets bored or the next hot thing walks by. And when it comes to us as parents, we do a poor job of telling our kids what we expect. And the reason why we do a poor job of telling them is because our actions don't always match what our words say. Because we'll still sit down as a family and watch family programming that glorifies the exact thing we hope our child never does or never happens to our child. But somehow we twist in our minds that it's a TV program and it's okay, but it is the culture, again, glorifying this kind of promiscuous behavior in relationships. We go to movies with them that communicate the same thing to them again and again, and we allow them to go to these movies, or we sit right there with them, and we get out and we don't talk about what we experienced, we just say what a great movie it was. These things glorify and reiterate the teaching of do it now. I mean, sure, parents say wait. I understand that. But our values have to back up our words. If it's not TV and movies, it's certainly the music. Go through your kid's iPod. Or if you're a single adult who is dating, what is your music communicating that is a value to you? Our music glorifies this cultural norm. And I'm always amazed when parents say, I don't know what to do about the music. I can't do anything about it. Bull. You erase the songs. You take the iPod. Trust me, hit it with a hammer. It won't play. Oh, but it costs $300. Well, I tell you what, if you don't have control over it, get it out of your house. Yep, they'll probably listen to it with their friends. There'll be limited exposure than playing in their ears all night long while they sleep. If we have a value in this as a Christian community, we have to communicate it. And we have to communicate not just with our words, but we have to communicate with our actions. And parents, we're going to talk more about this next week, but we need to take back our families and not let the culture run our families and dictate what's okay or not. The boys out there, for those of you that have girls, the boys out there are looking to win with your daughter. And when you send her out there with cutie written on her backside, oh, it's just cute. No, it isn't. You just created a predator situation. And they will get her. Maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow. But all her friends wear it. It's what the cool thing is. You can't buy a pair of shorts today, Pastor Doug, without that being on there. Really? Yeah, maybe at that store. An engagement in Mary and Joseph's time was such a different environment. The dating kind of thing was such a different environment. There was so much respect in it. There was chivalry in it. There was an understanding of our roles. There was a respect for each other and a respect for each other's families and a respect for the institution of marriage and what it means. Today, there are people that get married, and I just wonder what changed with them. A piece of paper? Because they were already doing everything marriage is. But Mary and Joseph's time, this behavior that we see in our culture today was certainly not acceptable. And as a result of that, Joseph was far from pleased of this news of Mary being pregnant. This was an atrocity. And verse 19 tells us, Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. It was a big deal to break an engagement. Though he was upset, he was still a good man. He had the right to shame her and her family. Mary's father would have only had one choice when this news came out. After Joseph breaks off the engagement, the father of a family of a daughter who would have done this would have been shunned from the family and from the community. She would have had to live outside the community. And she only had two ways to earn money. One is through begging, and the other was through prostitution. Even though she may not be a promiscuous person, it could have even been a rape that happened. But when that took place in a family, the girl was shunned. And she had to go make it on her own. And no man would ever marry her. No man would take her under his family. No man would provide for her. No man would pay a dowry for damaged goods like that. So Joseph did the only thing he could do respectfully, and that was to do this quietly. But the next step would have been for Mary's father to get rid of her along the way. What happened with Joseph after he considered this? Verse 20 says, as he considered this, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Those are powerful words. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God encourages Joseph to take a stand and to stand with his fiancée who is pregnant. I don't know how you do that in his culture. That takes a level of confidence in what God has said and a level of confidence with all of the judgment and the ridicule that would come on them as a family. And then, you know, you have to explain somehow how she got pregnant. And what do you have to say? It was the Holy Spirit. I mean, come on. Come on, Joseph. It's a weak moment, right? No, really, it was God. And it was. There's so much speculation as to how this happened, how she got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. All that speculation is pretty much worthless because we just don't know, all right? You can speculate yourself, but we don't know how it happened. But it did happen, and it happened supernaturally. The child within her didn't come from another man. It came from God himself, somehow supernaturally within her. And as this baby grew and as this baby developed, this was going to be God's son. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Joseph remained with Mary and stayed sexually pure until the birth of Jesus and the completion of their engagement and marriage. So what am I saying today? I'm going to try and put this in as simple a context as I can, and I understand there's a lot to do with dating. I really want us to hone in on this, those of you that are dating, and those of you that are parents. When it comes to what God wants us to understand, I believe he's telling us to have sex, have it often, because it's great. Yes. In the context of marriage. It is not for before that. You have to wait. In the Christian community, all you hear as a student growing up is that sex is bad. And I want to dispel that. It's great. It is something to look forward to. It is something to celebrate. It's something to have fun with. It's wonderful. In the context of marriage. Before that, it's so damaging. It's damaging to you, your soul, your spirit, emotionally. We hear in church all the time, no, 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 don't. I say do, but do it then and not now. Just wait a little bit. It's going to be worth it. If you already have, stop. Stop now. Confess it to God. Become a spiritual virgin all over again. God forgives us for everything that we've done, and we can start fresh anytime we choose. Every couple that I've sat down with for premarital counseling, I ask them this question, and they always know it's coming. I can tell those that have rehearsed well together ahead of time. And it's generally the girl who just can't look me in the eye. And out of all of the couples that I've done premarital counseling with, I've yet to have one that I know of that hasn't agreed to stop right then and there, sign a covenant with me, and have an accountability partner outside of our relationship that asks them that question on a regular basis. And when they stand at the altar, though they've made a mistake in the past, they do stand before God and before witnesses and before each other, knowing that they are virgins in God's eyes. And there's just flat out a little bit more excitement that day. And that is a wonderful gift. Ladies, you are special, and you deserve to be treated as such. When you go out on a date, your door should be open for you by him. Not because you can't do it, but because it shows that that young man understands that you are a gift that he respects. Ladies, if you ever feel pressured on a date, I want you to apply blunt force trauma to the pressure area and get a ride home, because you deserve more than that. You're not a trash can for him to dump on. You're not something for him to use. You're created by God, and you are a gift for some young man out there who he's created you to be a lifelong partner with. Wait for that person, and the only way you're going to know it's that person is after you say, "I do," and I say, "Kiss the bride." And at that point, go have a lot of fun. Don't even show up at your reception. That's fine. We all get it. Pastor Doug family, we waited this long. We're not coming to the reception. We got it. We'll toast you. Gentlemen, treat your girls the same way that you expect some young man to treat your daughter. Treat the girls you interact with the same way you hope some other young man will treat your daughter that you'll have someday. Treat every girl the way you hope other men are currently treating the woman who's going to become your wife that you don't know yet. If the girl you're with now doesn't become your wife, then you're putting your hands on another man's wife, and you have no business doing that. I also say to men and women together, don't play house. If you're married, if you're not married, you should not live together. It doesn't matter if it's financially advantageous. In fact, that's ridiculous. What is advantageous is your character and the respect you'll have for the one that you claim to love by finding a roommate and living apart. I can't believe that finances is really the excuse that so many people give. It's no wonder that dating lasts for years without a proposal. Because a man, ladies, the men don't have to propose. You've already given everything in. And when the proposal finally does come, because you've pressured him so much into it, the wedding takes 2, 3, 4 years to show up. What's the point? A piece of paper license? Believe me, ladies, if you're living with a man, he has the best scenario there is. You do all the cleaning, you do all the cooking, you have sex with him, and he can walk away anytime he wants. Great catch. Lastly, I'd say this. The purpose of dating is to find a spouse. So when are you ready to find a spouse? That's when you should start dating. So if you're 13, and mom and dad, you've decided that it's time for them to start dating, I guess you're planning to have a biblical wedding. I just don't think they're ready. Because you're going to turn on all those hormones. You're going to turn all that stuff on. They're going to find the person of their dreams. And now what? Now they're 14. When will they be getting married? How will they hold back all those emotions and those hormones? I don't know. Not easy. I encourage people that aren't ready to get married to group date. It's okay to like people. It's wonderful to like people. But be careful on it becoming so exclusive that you lose all your relationships. You lose all guys. You lose all your guy friends because it's all about her. If you're a girl, you lose all your girlfriends. It's all about him. And then when the thing breaks apart, then you're left stranded. And when that pressure is on you, you're willing to do just about anything to stay in that relationship or to make it work. It's too soon. It may not be the norm today, but God's way of respecting the opposite sex and waiting to be married before you are married is a way that you will appreciate if you choose it. Purity is so hard to come by. But today, I believe it is achievable, and I believe it is incredibly beneficial. In the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 9, it says, "How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word." And this is my hope for you today. Buck the culture and live your values. You're never going to regret living your values, but there's a good chance that you might regret the other. I know I do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. And we make a mess of these relationships at times. I think, Lord, we're in a culture that just wants the cart before the horse. And Lord, I pray that the young men or the men here today that are in that dating category, Lord, that they would respect the women that they date. Lord, I pray for the women that are out there that they would expect that. They wouldn't settle for something less. Lord, help us to stay pure in our relationships. Help us to give advice and live our lives in ways that communicate that respect. As parents, Lord, help us stand firm in our values and what we believe and not bend to the culture and just become lemmings going along with it with our eyes covered and our ears plugged, just hoping that nothing is going on with our own children when the data says if we do what everyone else does, it is going on. Help us to be a people that are different because of our relationship with you. May our commitment to you live out in our commitments to each other. May our love for you be played out in the way that we love others. May each of us be more like you today than we were yesterday. And in that, Lord, we ask for forgiveness for those areas where we fail. And help us to be more like you tomorrow than we are today, striving to love you and love others. We thank you for the gift of love. We thank you for the gift of marriage and relationships, fun and the enjoyment that they can bring. Lord, help us with that timing, that we would wait on you, and that in the midst of that, we can celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you all as you go from this place. Hopefully this will spur on some interesting conversations in your lives or with others that you know. And we're glad that you're here. Next week, come back. We're talking about parenting, okay? One I've been looking forward to, and the message, I'm going to diss my mother. So, next week.